We're so thankful for the presence of all of you this morning, and we hope and trust that God has blessed you already during this year, 2012. It is a wonderful year, a wonderful opportunity for us to get renewed in our relationship with God. If I could title the lesson today, I would title it, Getting Renewed. You know, all of us at times have to get renewed in our life. People often talk about renewing their marriage vows or renewing their commitment unto God or being restored in a relationship with Christ. We need to get renewed as well. You cannot stay the same. You cannot. Change is inevitable. It is always happening around us every day. Now, I know a lot of people that don't like change. I know a lot of people that obviously believe that things are never really going to change in life. There are some people that just have that mentality. Several years ago, in 1899, there was a man by the name of Charles Duell who actually worked in the U.S. Patent Office, and he was the director who made this statement that everything that can be invented has already been invented. Aren't you glad that he was wrong? I am delighted that this man was wrong and that he made a bad prediction. How many of you remember H.M. Warner? You may not remember the name, but he was associated and the founder of Warner Brothers Productions back in 1927. And that was back during the days of the silent movie. And he made the statement, why, who wants to hear actors talk? Grover Cleveland, who was once president of the United States of America, in 1905 said that sensible and responsible women do not want to vote. And all the women said, wrong. Robert Milligan, who was the Nobel Prize winner in physics in the year 1923, said that there is no likelihood that man can ever tap the power of the atom. Lloyd Kelvin, who was president of the Royal Society in 1895, said that heavier than air flying machines are impossible. Again, aren't you glad his prediction was wrong? There was a man by the name of Tristan one time who made the statement in 1927 that Babe Ruth made a big mistake when he gave up pitching. A Michigan banker one time told Henry Ford, he said that the horse is here to stay, but the automobile is only a novelty. And then I like this one also. Gary Cooper made this statement, Gone with the Wind is going to be the biggest flop in history. He said, I'm just glad it will be Clark Gable who's falling flat on his face and not me. Well, we know it certainly wasn't a flop. Change is inevitable. It is. Look at the wheels of life. If you don't believe it, you start off in a baby buggy with wheels, and some of us, if we're lucky, make it all the way down to the wheelchair. Just think about it. The wheels of life. Change is inevitable. Think about it. Does your car have fuel injection? Do you ever stop at a drive-thru? Do you ever use a credit card? How many of you have central heat today? Do you use plastic or use paper? The only person who really likes change, Mark Twain said, is a wet baby. You and I are part of what we call the restoration movement. We are. And as a part of that restoration movement, you and I must take the gospel just as they took it in the first century. We must take it in the 21st, and we must live it to the glory of Almighty God. We must be renewed, or you and I will eventually die. Every day, think about it. God allows you to go to bed at night to rest your body, where you'll get up in the morning and feel renewed. That's really what rest is all about. God did not intend for you to work all the time. He didn't intend for you to sleep all the time. But He did intend for you to go to bed and rest your bodies and get enough rest where you can get up and be of great value in the kingdom of God. We must be renewed. And we must change for the better. In Charles Schulz's Peanuts comic strip, Lucy asked Linus the question, "Do you think that people ever really change?" And Linus says, "Sure, I feel I've changed a lot this past year." And Lucy says, "I meant for the better." You know, you wonder about the lives of people. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you really changed for the better? Do you feel renewed this morning? Are you renewed? Are you being renewed by God? And by the way, renewal comes from God. He is the one that brings it about. For David in Psalms 51 and verse 10 said, "Create within me a pure heart, O God, and renew," listen to this, "renew a steadfast spirit within me." Now I want to share with you this morning some areas maybe where you and I need to be renewed. I would tell you first of all that we need to renew, we really do need to renew our spiritual lives. We do. What about your spiritual life? Are you more spiritual now than you were last year? Is it really any better? When December 31st, 2011 came to an end and you embarked upon this new year last Sunday, are you working at trying to renew your spiritual life? Many have regressed and many have gone back in their spiritual walk with God, and they no longer walk with the Savior. They're walking with the world. There are areas where we must renew our spiritual lives. We must renew our enthusiasm. You know, nothing ever grand in life ever happened without enthusiasm. David said, "Zeal for thy house hath consumed me." We ought to be the most enthusiastic people in all of the world. And yet sometimes we become the most lethargic. We ought to renew our love for God. How deep is your love for your Father who is in heaven? Do you really love God? We've been singing about it this morning, how we love God. We've been talking about how important He is unto us and how we ought to be ringing the message out. But how much do we really love God? What about our spirit of giving? Are we giving more to God this year than we did last year? Is that even on the agenda? Are we going to do better? Or are we going to do less? We need often to renew our commitment unto God. To renew the commitment. To go back before God and say, "God, I'm here now to be your servant, and I want to do much, much better this year in 2012. And we need to renew our strength in spiritual things. You know, most of us are pretty good when it comes to the world and living and doing the things that we have to do, worldly speaking. But how much are we doing in terms of spiritual things? How many souls are we saving individually? How many people are we even teaching the gospel to? How many people are we inviting to the worship services of the church? How many Bible classes are we attending? How many services of the church do we actually frequent ourselves? In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 31, the prophet said, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And they will soar on wings of eagles, and they will run, and they will not grow weary. And they will walk, and they will not faint. They do not give up. They keep on serving God. Even when it gets bleak in their lives, and even when things fail them and people fail them, they keep on serving God." And we must do the same. In Exodus 15:2, we read, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." Be strong. Be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes before you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. There is no rock like our God. And those who are with us are more than those who are with them. We have to remember that, folks. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, David said in Psalms 23 and verse 1. In Psalms 46 and verse 1, one of my favorite passages of all time, that God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in our trouble. I don't care what we face, God is always there. Whatever we have to go through, and that's why we need to renew our strength in him and realize that God is still there when everything else has collapsed around us. In the book of Lamentation 5 and verse 21, "Restore us to yourself, O God, that we may return and renew our days as of old." Habakkuk 3 and verse 2, "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day and in our time. Make them known. In wrath, remember your mercy." Many were faithful at one time. But many have returned to the world. Now let me ask you a question. Could it be that you are here in body right now, but your heart's not with God? Now you might say in your mind, well, how in the world could that possibly be? Because you know what? Jesus, in the book of Matthew chapter 15, made this statement. He said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." He said, "They praise me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Sometimes the heart of many people have taken flight somewhere else, and their heart is not right with God. You know, we often sing that grand old invitation hymn, Sam, sometimes, "Is thy heart right with God?" That's a question that we all ask ourselves every day. Is my heart right with God? Sometimes we go through the motion. Even when it comes to giving, people give, but they don't do it from the heart. When people sing, they don't sing and make melody in their heart. They're doing it with their lips. They're going through the right moves. And when a person repents of his sin, he does not have a change of heart. And that's what repentance is. In Revelation 2 and verse 5, God says to the church in Asia Minor, "Remember therefore from which thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come quickly," he says, "and will remove the candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." But there's another area where we need to experience renewal, and that is we must renew our minds. For in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul says, "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world." If you were reading in the King James, it would read a little bit different, but essentially the same. "Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." By the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How often do you renew your mind? You know, sometimes we just let the body do what it wants to do. The mind ought to control your actions. The mind ought to control what you do. But sometimes we allow the body to control the mind. We get hungry. We tell the mind we want to eat. We don't let the mind tell us. We must renew our minds. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16 says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away," he says, "but inwardly we are being renewed day by day." Every day we need to renew our mind and put our mind upon things that are holy and things that are important in life. Sometimes our mind shoots in different directions during a day. And I'm going to tell you something. Upon God, there are very few who look to God. There are very few whose minds are upon Jehovah. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, Paul says, And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of his Creator. Here there is no Greek nor Jew. Circumcision or uncircumcision matters not at all. But Christ is all and in all. And he says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Are you working to do a better job of that this year in 2012? You're really renewing your relationship with God by renewing your mind. In Colossians 3 and verse 9, he says, do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off the old self, he says, with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of his Creator. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. He saved us not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of God's eternal Spirit. Now I'm giving you all those passages of Scripture to help you understand that renewal is a part of life. It is something that we all ought to experience every day. And there are times when we just have to back up and reassess where we are, spiritually speaking, and say, God, maybe there's some changes I need to make in my life. Maybe there's some alterations to my aspirations and my dreams for the future. And Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 7 through 9, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, I just suppose that when we woke up this morning, the world looked the same. But there is a reminder. Stop and think about this. There is a reminder of the resurrection. One night Jesus lay in a tomb, and he did more than one day. But on Sunday morning, that morning came, and Christ was raised from the dead. Do you know the resurrection and even a new morning reminds us that there is a new year, a new decade. That's why I like Mondays. I don't know about you. I like Sundays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, because I'm going to tell you something. They all remind me that there's a rebirth that takes place after a nice rest. That's really what it's all about, isn't it? And you can always start afresh as a child of God. And then last of all, we must renew our joy. David said in Psalms 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe it needs to be restored in your life. Maybe you also. Maybe you've lost it somewhere along the way. You know, you look at people today, they're not very happy. They're not very joyful. Sometimes people come together and when we sing, we don't sing like we're rejoicing in the Lord. We sing like, when will this be over? David said, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. And he said, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. There's so many things over which you and I ought to be rejoicing this morning. If you are here bodily, and God enabled you to get here, you ought to be rejoicing because there are many on the beds of affliction this morning and in the hospital who cannot walk and who cannot talk. What a privilege to be in the house of God. And oh, how we take it for granted. We all understand the joy that Jesus wants to give us, but for some reason or another, we don't have it. In John 15 and verse 11, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you." Now listen to this. "That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full or complete." Sometimes people get excited momentarily, but the joy doesn't stay there. But you know, as Christians, the joy ought to remain. That's what Christ said. He says, "I've spoken these things unto you that my joy might remain in you, that it'll stay in you, not only on Sunday, but on Monday when you go to work, or on Monday when you go to school, or on Monday when you begin your worldly activities, that the joy of the Lord will be with you and in you. It is your strength every day. It enables you to do what God wants you to do." And that's what Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." For some reason or another, the practice of losing joy has happened, I suppose, probably to all people. And it surely happened to David. Now, he lost it somewhere in Psalms 51. He's asking God to restore it. He says, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." He obviously had not been teaching the transgressor, because he says, "When you restore to me the joy of thy salvation," he says, "then will I teach the transgressor of thy way." And you know what? You cannot excite someone else if you're not excited about it yourself. You will never bring people from the world into the house of God if we are not excited and thrilled about being here ourselves. Not going to happen. There was rejoicing for you the day that you came to Christ. You remember that? You remember when you walked down an aisle of invitation and became a Christian, or someone talked to you about Jesus Christ and you surrendered and you gave your life to Jesus? You remember that? And do you remember when you were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of all of your sin? And you were lowered in that water upon your penitent heart and upon the confession of your lips to Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of God. What a thrilling moment. Most of us remember that. Many of us could remember the great invitation hymn that was sung and echoed in the halls of worship when we walked down that aisle and gave our life to Jesus. Many of us remember that. You remember who baptized you into Christ. You remember what it was, the lesson that touched your heart and brought you to Jesus. And you were so excited and you were so thrilled at that moment. And you understood that when you went down in the water, that all your sin would be washed away. And every transgression that you'd ever committed in your life would have been forgiven. And there was rejoicing for you, like the Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 15, that God and the angels rejoice over one sinner who repents. But maybe some of you have lost it. Some people lose it and search elsewhere to find it. You know what? You won't find it anywhere else. You find it right where you lost it. You find it right where you left it. By being baptized into Christ, there is joy. Baptism is a rebirth. It is. In John, the 3rd chapter, verse 3 through 5, the Bible talks about the fact that we are to be born again of the water and of the Spirit in order for us to experience that joy. And those of us who have lost it need to renew it, need to claim it again. And remember that God has not removed His joy for you. It's His will that it remain in you. And if you've lost it, you're the one who lost it. You gave it up. And the way that you find it today is by coming back to the one you left, is by coming back to Jesus and confessing your sin. For confession of sin through prayer allows a new start for those who are children of God. I like the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. The Bible says that we walk in the light as He is the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all of our sin. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You know what? I do that every day. I ask God, I'm serious. Every day I ask God to cleanse me in the morning and I get up. God, cleanse me and purge me of anything that could be held against me in the day of judgment should I die this day. Forgive my sin and help me to walk humbly before You and before the world. Thank You for the new start. God has given you a new start. Will you grow? Will you change? Will you be renewed? Or will you die? Do you realize that that is of our own choosing? Nobody can renew you except God. And He only renews those who choose renewal. Maybe this morning, just maybe this morning, there's someone in this audience who needs to be renewed spiritually. Maybe you feel that there's something missing in your life and in your heart and you want to be renewed. You know it's just not there the way it was when you were baptized. You've lost your joy somewhere along the way. I'm telling you this morning, it's as easy as coming before God and asking Him to restore your joy. David didn't go out and do flips and incantations and all those kind of things to receive the joy that he had lost. He simply went to God. He confessed his sin and he says, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." Maybe this morning you need to do the same thing. You can either leave here unhappy, with no joy, and walk out the door lamenting the fact that you don't have it, or you can claim it and walk out of this building today renewed and refreshed and filled to the fullest with the joy of God. Now that's a choice that each of us will have to make. What do you really want? If you're not a Christian this morning, what are you looking for in life? Better job? Better husband? Better wife? Obedient children? Better relationship with your friends? Better relationship with your neighbors? You know what? All of that is for naught if we don't have the right relationship with God. And the way that we enter into the right relationship with God is through a rebirth. It's renewal. That's really what it is. You were born physically into the world, but God asks us to be reborn. Born of the water and the Spirit. By coming to Jesus and acknowledging your faith in Him through a penitent heart. And by being lowered in water, baptized for the forgiveness of your sin, raised to walk in newness of life. And isn't it interesting that in every account of conversion in the Holy Scriptures, that when people were baptized, they went on their way rejoicing. They didn't rejoice until they had made that commitment unto God. And it's a commitment that you can make even now while we stand and while we sing.